Hey, Spencer.
Hey, Chris.
How we doing?
Good, how are you?
Fantastic. So, Spencer, I hear you've been getting to play around a little bit with some new tech. Doing some prototyping, some proofs of concept. Mind if we dig into that today?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I know kind of the impetus for it sounds like wanting to get together a proof of concept for server rendering. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think so. Kind of try to see an experiment with server rendering and how that could kind of look for us, as well as some other libraries and technologies that we don't use today, to see how those could potentially be useful, and then more specifically, how some of the things we do use today would look in kind of a server rendered world, to see if that's a path that we would want to consider, or if it's too much overhead, or if it delivers the benefits that we think would be worthwhile to invest in.
Yeah, do you mind talking a little bit about why we care about server rendering and some of those benefits?
Yeah, I think there's kind of two high level things that I've kind of noticed and seen referenced a lot, and I think kind of resonate. So the first is related to SEO. So I don't have a great understanding of exactly how the search engine bots kind of scrape things, but my understanding is that they do have some capability to parse a JavaScript client-side application, but still the server-rendered applications generally perform better, and having a very performant application that is server-rendered will generally rank better with SEO. So I don't know any more details beyond that, other than it's better for SEO. And before recently, we didn't really care about that almost at all, because most of our application is behind authentication, but now we're starting to kind of explore that. So that could become a much more important thing to the company. And then second, kind of already mentioned, but is the first paint performance. So in a client rendered application, generally you send down kind of the bare bones HTML with maybe like a div, and then your client code gets downloaded, and then it mounts onto that div and kind of happens from there. So your first paint might be fast for just that initial HTML, but now you're waiting for all those other assets and resources to download before you can achieve like a true first paint where a user can actually see your application. But with server rendering, you can do that initial first render pass, and then inline any critical resources, whether that's CSS or data or some other information, and then hopefully achieve that first paint really fast, and then still download those additional assets asynchronously, and then continuing on from there and having the client handle it after that first page load.
Yeah, some of those benefits are very attractive. So this all sounds great. I know it wasn't exactly straightforward to get some of this stuff up and running, it sounds like. Do you mind going into some of the challenges that you encountered along the way?
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of this for me was a learning experience, but it was so there's a lot of new things just to learn, which in itself can sometimes be a challenge. But then with server rendering, there's also kind of, I guess, almost two things you have to always be thinking about, like how does this look on initial render, and then how does this render in the client, and making sure those are the same so you don't get like weird flashes or janks or even errors potentially if things kind of mismatch. So it was kind of reconciling those two things, where normally you just add a library, say you want to use styled components, you just add it and start using it. But now with server rendering, there's a little bit of additional work to make sure that those are rendered consistently between the server and the client, so that when the client does pick up, that you don't have a mismatch, and then the user would see a flash from what was server rendered, and then as soon as the client picked up, it might render something different, and then it would just be a kind of a jank experience. So that kind of styled components was one example, but almost all of the packages had this kind of problem. There weren't a ton of examples of server rendering with TypeScript. And I think TypeScript has been super useful in our front end, and I kind of wanted to see how that would look to kind of build out the server rendered application with TypeScript as well. So that also introduced some interesting complexities.
Hey, do you mind talking a little bit about the specifics, digging into, say, style components? Like in theory, I understand, we need to get some styles out to the browser with the markup coming from the server, and then React take like the client side, the client takes over. What is actually happening under the hood there? terms of actual like style sheet delivery and markup changing?
Yeah, so we use CSS modules heavily in our application today, and I'm a fairly big fan of that. I think it's worked fairly well for what we needed, and I was a little hesitant to even experiment with something else and kind of move away from those. But I think given that this was kind of a prototype, I thought it was worthwhile to at least explore something else and do a fair comparison between the two and maybe kind of see the advantages and disadvantages of both. But I think I was somewhat surprised by the actual potential for improved performance with styled components. So the first thing, even without a server rendered application, if you're using styled components, your CSS is then in your JavaScript. So the nice thing about that is when you're doing code splitting, the CSS is code split into your JavaScript. So only the CSS that's needed for that is in that chunk. So when we were implementing code splitting in our application today, it was non-trivial to figure out how to code split out our CSS modules. So it could, I think it is for sure possible, but it's just not as trivial as just including styled components and implementing code splitting and boom, your CSS is almost perfectly code split. But then introducing server rendering, when you do that first pass render, you can keep track of what styles were used and then inline those in the head of the HTML document. So then on your first paint, you have all of your critical CSS inlined, and then all of the additional CSS that you might need later on is lazy loaded in those JavaScript chunks. So again, it can be really beneficial with server rendering to achieve very fast first paints, and you don't need to try to think of like, oh, what is the critical CSS, doing that by hand or coming up with some kind of weird Webpack plugin to do that at build time. It happens at runtime and it's almost perfect. I mean, you could say that your critical CSS is only what's in the view, but that's almost impossible to do with so many different screen sizes and things. So I think a good compromise is just saying like whatever is needed for the first render. And that's achieved by, so Style Components has support for it and it provides a provider. So you add a React context provider at the top of your tree on server render, and then you pass in the style object. And then as all of the styled components within that tree render, it adds those styles that were used to that style object that was passed to that style provider. And then after you do the render, you can take that and you can get all of those styles that were used and then just essentially stringify that into your HTML document and send that over. And there's a little bit of complication here because styled components can works by generating unique class names for each component. So in certain cases, those IDs can mismatch, in which case you would get an error when the client takes over, because if it's generating a different class ID, your elements in the React tree are going to mismatch. So you're going to get a server rendered, client rendered mismatch. So that's fixed by a Babel plugin at build time on both the server and the client. And that will kind of keep track of the components and give them a consistent ID between the two. So there's a little more overhead and a little bit more complexity, but again, it's kind of that trade-off between complexity versus that first paint timing. So depending on what's more important, that decision can kind of be made on those.
Yeah, makes sense. So I'm talking a little bit more about, I understand the provider for server rendering, but like, how do you not render the whole tree? Or, you know what I mean? Like you render kind of the application frame and like course styles, but then there's still like the kind of like what portions of the page do you defer to like the client to render and like fetch its own data, making API requests or whatever. And what does that look like to set that code up?
Yeah. So if you kind of think about like when you hit an application, what's the first thing you see without, clicking on anything, doing any sort of interaction, that's kind of what would be first rendered. So say you have a really long homepage, like, and you render like a 30 blog items on it, it's going to load all of the styles for all of those blog items. So potentially if you have a very large first render, you could be inlining a lot of styles, but, it only renders the current page and it's using React Router. So, you render the top-level application, but then whatever the request came in for whichever route, you can then render just that route. So, for example, your homepage. So it's only going to render your homepage. But if it's a really small homepage, you know, you have your nav bar and your homepage content, so you're just inlining the nav bar styles and whatever content's on your homepage. But that's where you want to only maybe render the first two items on your homepage and then lazy load in the other 100 or so with some kind of infinite scroll or virtualized list or whatever it might be.
Yeah, that makes sense. I understand now. I didn't realize it was like render the entire page and then just basically the client just handles page transitions or paginating data, things like that. Cool. So I know there was some interesting things around code splitting and with this setup. Do you mind going into some of the details there?
Yeah. So I wanted to try to kind of prototype this in the most building the application in a realistic way to see what the actual like potential performance characteristics would be and what the benefits possibly could be. So with that, wanted to definitely implement code splitting. So just having done that in the main application, I thought it was going to be fairly straightforward. I'm fairly familiar with the Webpack configuration, the dynamic imports, the TypeScript config, but I was a little bit surprised by how much more complex it is, this code split with server rendering. So the biggest problem is code splitting works really well now with React Lazy and Suspense on the client, because you can just call React Lazy, pass it your dynamic import, put Suspense in there, and then it's going to show a loading state while your asynchronous module, chunk, whatever it might be, is loading, and then you can just render that. But unfortunately, currently Suspense does not work with React server-side rendering. My understanding is they're looking at adding support for that, but also adding better support for server rendering in general, which I'm really excited for. But this is the kind of the current state that we're working with. So there's a few other packages, and the one recommended by React currently is called Loadable Components. So this is kind of a similar. My understanding is kind of similar to React Lazy, and it kind of does some work around that for you. So the way this works is you add, so you use the actual loadable components library on the client. And if you were just rendering a client app, that's all you would need. But with server rendering, you also need some setup on the server. So you need a server rendered version of loadable components package. Then you also have a Webpack plugin and then a Babel plugin to get all of this to work. So you use the same dynamic imports that you normally would to kind of denote to Webpack like, hey, I want a code split at this point. And then when you build the front end client aspect of it, that Webpack plugin is going to output a loadable components manifest JSON file. And this is what's used on the server side to determine which chunks were used in that render. And then that Babel plugin does some transformation on the server to make it work as expected. But when you render on the server, you again add a provider. So the kind of general theme of server rendering packages is you generally put a provider on the server to kind of keep track of what was rendered, and then you can kind of serialize that to the client to use for the first render. So we do something similar here. So it renders the tree. Say we render home. This is going to need the main entry point and then the home chunk and then maybe a home vendor's chunk or a shared vendor's chunk. So it uses three chunks. So as it's rendering on the server side, it's going to keep track of which chunks are loaded, and then that will be available after the render because we have that provider. And then you can, very similar to styled components, kind of take those chunks, create prefetch link tags, script tags, and then you can send that to the client. So then it knows, oh, I'm going to need these scripts, load these now versus waiting for the main entry point to load and then figure out which scripts we're going to need. So it's performant in that way, but it adds a ton of complexity because you need a Babel plugin for parsing the server side code. And then you need a Webpack plugin to generate this manifest file. So again, adds a lot of complexity, but for implementing code splitting with server rendering, it worked fairly well.
How does something like, you know, you're writing your in client code, you make an HTTP request for something and then render it. How does like data management work, converting that to server rendering?
Yeah, so it works really well with Apollo. I haven't had to do it with any like standard kind of like REST CRUD endpoint type of things yet. I think that might require a little bit more thinking and a little bit more tooling. But with Apollo, again, you add a provider, a custom configured client provider for the server, and then you create that every request. So each request gets a new client, and as that renders, it keeps track of all of the queries that were dispatched in that data. And then again, after it renders, you can then take those queries and that data and serialize that to the client. So as soon as the client loads, it hydrates with that data. So the server is actually making that GraphQL request, and then the client doesn't have to make that initial request. So all of the data for the first load is right there inlined, similar to kind of the styles components, loadable components setup.
Nice. Yeah, I can see how that can be translated to something on the server reasonably. I can't see how we would take some of the requests we make today and like our client side of the app. But yeah, that's interesting. I know a big piece of this kind of prototype that you've been working on is adding support for internationalization. Is there anything interesting to talk about there, especially on server rendering too?
Yeah, I think the general theme of it is fairly straightforward and easy to set up, and then you introduce server rendering and then you have to start looking into a lot more things. Definitely holds true for this. So this is the first time I ever looked into internationalization. So was relying on the i18 Next packages. So they have a pretty good ecosystem, it looks like, for just supporting all different kind of tooling and technologies. So they have a i18 Next React package, and then they have several things that are specific to Express and Node. So kind of whole ecosystem that works fairly well. But the same thing with this. So I don't have a super deep understanding of this yet, but and it required a little bit more implementation on the server, but the same idea kind of holds. So you have your different languages like English, Spanish, whatever, and you have your JSON configs for those. So your key and that maps to whatever translation of that English language you want. And then on server rendered, you can preload all of those on the server to have for rendering your view. But then you can add a provider, and then as that tree renders, it will keep track of which languages were used in which namespaces. So it has this idea of a namespace. So you could kind of think of that as like different files. So you have English, but then you have maybe like 8 different files of different translations or whatever. So when that tree is done rendering, you can say, oh, I use this language in these 2 namespaces. You can grab that data and then similarly serialize that to the client for the first render so that you have the translations necessary for that first page load. And then the rest of the data is code split out. So those will be loaded asynchronously on subsequent views. So this required a little bit more setup, but it again had the packages necessary to support server rendering and could have similar trade-offs. So say you put all of your translations in a single file with this setup, that means you're going to be sending that entire translation file on the first load. So you might have to find a different strategy. But then the other approach of splitting out it into too many files means you're going to be loading a lot of these asynchronously on each page load and could add a little bit to loading experience. So kind of figuring out the balance of those, but the initial kind of work to see how that would look.
Nice. Well, there may be a few other things we wanted to dig into here. Maybe we can do it on a follow-up show, but we're out of time here. But yeah, this is really interesting. I mean, a lot of this, this really is the first I've heard about a lot of these things. So it's fun catching up with you on some of this.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, same for me. Most of this has been 95% documentation reading, source diving, and 5% actually writing code. So,
well, knowing that, I'm sure you'd love to hear from anyone listening if they have experience working through some of these server rendering issues with this tech stack. Yeah, if you have anything that you think would be interesting, we'd love to hear about it. Please email us. Maybe we can even do another show where we can interview someone who actually has experience doing some of these things in production. But yeah, please reach out, hosts@rubberducking.fm. And if people want to find show notes, rubberducking.fm/19.